did.
How was everyone's Thanksgiving?
Good.
Yeah?
Do you eat too much of anything and everything?
Yeah.
On Wednesday, we had compass over 10 or 11 students or so. And so we had ham and turkey and lots of food. It was really great. The group stayed over in Hawaii and played games. It was a lot of fun. It's just so nice to have Aaliyah home. She's really home right now. I think she's still resting. So then she's back for the holiday. And time for family, right? It's the time that we gather, it's the time that we share our lives and we reconnect. And today is the time for us to reconnect with God as well. We have communion. It's the first week of Advent. So we don't have that. The pastor's done the wreath with the candles. It's 4 Sundays before Christmas we start Advent. And this happens to be right after Thanksgiving this year. And we also have some people traveling and students out today. But this is the Sunday that we can set aside to start to get ready for the holiday season and for the Christmas season. So some of us might already have a taste of that. How many of you guys went shopping online or otherwise? We can do statistics here. How many actually went to a store or a brick and mortar? Some of you? Okay. I always say I'm not going to, and then somehow we end up at Target in Woodland. Yeah, it's too close. It's too easy. We always end up there on Thursday or Friday, or Thursday and Friday. And now there's Ulta along the food store, so I don't understand that store at all, but it's okay. Alright, so like I said, we'll have community in a moment. And my title of the message is Christmas God, and that actually was the title of the reading, the reader's theory that we just had. And so we'll talk a little bit about what we just heard and look into what does it mean for us to be Jesus' parents and entity. Let's pray, and then we'll get to it. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning through the rain. During this time of the holidays, holiday weekend, God, you wanted us to be here. And I thank you that you brought us here. I thank you, God, that now it's December and we have Thanksgiving. And as we look forward to Christmas, we look forward to celebrating your coming, Jesus. And we look forward to your returning, Jesus, a second time. Thank you so much, Father, for sending Jesus. For his love and sacrifice, how it is an example to us, but not only an example to how we should live, but it was how you redeemed us. Him on the cross, taking my punishment, taking my sin. God, we are broken people, we are weak people, and we have the blight of sin on us. But thank you for Jesus, that through him, that through his life and by his example that we can live like him. And we pray, Lord, that we would be challenged every day to do that. And just be with us in this time of worship, wherever we're at this morning, however we feel, God, you are here. You are present, and you want to meet us here. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I took some lines out of the reading, and I wanted to just kind of, it went by pretty quickly, and just kind of sit with it a little bit. And really at the heart of this reading was this question of, this Christmas, what gift could I offer to you, Jesus? What gift can I give? So that's a question I think we can all reflect on today. As the Advent season commences, and as we think about Christmas, we're probably thinking about gifts for others. There are some great deals out there, but what is it that we can give to Jesus? And that's what the readers were going through, and there are different ways that they were thinking. If they had been there with Jesus, maybe they could have comforted him. There's other ways that they were imagining and thinking about. Would it have mattered if I had been there during your ministry on earth? My gift could have been to serve you, Lord. But I wasn't there. None of us were there. He says, would it matter if I had been there when you died? I could have placed the sponge on your parched lips to quench your thirst. Right? You can imagine the Lord on the cross, and he's He's thirst, and he's suffering, and just to bring a little bit of comfort unto him. Would that have been a way, to serve Jesus? And he says, maybe that's it. And he thought, just to bring that at the end. I can try to live like you would live. I can be your hands and feet. I'll fight for the weak. I'll pray for the broken. I'll love your children. And so it goes on in all the different practical ways that we can bring mercy and justice and love into our world. And that this is what God has called us to do, right? And that this is the mission of Jesus and our mission as well. One verse that really came to mind as I read this passage was when Jesus, after he resurrected, told the disciples, and he says, peace be to you. And he's trying to comfort them. Because after the resurrection, they're trying to understand who this person is in front of them that's been resurrected, because they didn't quite grasp all that Jesus was doing at that time and how he had overcome death. And he told them, but they didn't quite understand. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Here's a verse that that I really grab onto, especially in later years of my ministry, to think about what does it mean that I have been sent the way that Jesus has been sent. What was Jesus sent to do? And what does that mean for me as his follower? As he left this earth, and as he was resurrected, and as he ascended, and I'm here, left here on earth, what does that mean for me? As his disciple that I am sent to. It casts our whole life into this idea of purpose and mission. No Christian is without purpose or mission. Every follower of Jesus, right? Whether it's we look at the Great Commission or we look at this sending verse, I'm sending you. And so we start thinking about all that Jesus did and all that he is. Different Bible studies are going through Gospels. Our IV grad group has been going through Mark. And one of the passages that we studied was the leper. So I love to teach the leper. We did it in Sunday school too. And I think about how Jesus came and he brought life. He brought healing. He brought dignity and restoration to someone who was outcast and stigmatized and who was otherwise broken. And here's this leper coming and saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, Jesus, because I know you can do it. I know you have the power to do this. But are you willing? And he did touch them. He actually touched the leper. And so this is just one of my favorite stories in the gospel from Mark 1. And also in the synoptics, you see Jesus and touching people's lives and changing them. That Jesus came. Not just to die on the cross. Sometimes we focus on that. That he came to die. He did come to die. But he came to live, too, and bring life. And the way he lived speaks to what his mission was all about. And so I come to this verse from Luke 4 and 4:18 and 19. When Jesus, as he began his ministry, and he was in Nazareth in the synagogue, and he stood up. And as is the custom, he read a scroll. He picked up the Isaiah scroll. It was a pretty long scroll. Or they had sections of it. And he read from it. Let's read from it. Let's read together these two verses that he read from Isaiah 61. Let's read together.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
And then he sat down. He says that the scriptures are fulfilled now in your hearing. Wow, it's so powerful. He was saying that in my coming, in the mission that the Father has sent me, that I am here to do this, to accomplish this work of redemption and restoration, right, of freeing the slave, of having the sight of the blind see. Physically, metaphorically, spiritually, this world needs us still, doesn't it? The world is still a broken place. where the poor are neglected and forgotten, and where the world still needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is sending us to continue to accomplish this work. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. This is a big mission. This is a big job. And I think particularly at Christmas time, we start thinking more about love and service. We start thinking about what we can do to help our neighbor. If you look in your bulletin, I'm going to pray on all the announcements. Not all of them, but a couple of them. If you look in the bulletin, we have some opportunities of how we can serve our community and serve the people around us who are in need. We have a sock drive. And we always do great in our sock drive. And we have tubs of socks that we collect, you know, new socks. And we should. You know, someone came when we were having a meeting the last week, I think on Tuesday, and he came to our door and it was freezing. There's that night that went into the 20s. And he said, is there a jacket or a blanket? Is there something that you know, I'm cold? You know, he just had this thin layer on, wasn't sure if he was homeless or not. And we're just scrambling around the church looking for something. And there's something in the lost and found. We're like, well, this looks like someone's nice jacket. Should we give it away? No, and I'm thinking, do I have a blanket in my car? And we're just running. We preempted our elders meeting for 20 minutes, running around looking for how we could, you know, support this person. And there's opportunities all around us. And some socks could go a long way. Cold feet's not fun. We all know that. And just having some new socks. So, you know, I'm surprised we don't have more socks. It's a really easy thing for us. It's a really easy thing to go buy some socks and go to Costco or Target, wherever you go, and bring them to church. We have a lot of socks. This year, let's have even more socks, right? We can do better. We have the Salvation Army bell ring. You know, Dan helps organize that every year. I think we're going to be at CVS and Marketplace on the 21st, is that right? Yeah, and so we have about 6 hours, or? Yeah, I think typically we do about 6 hours, and we ring the bell. And Dan, how much money do we usually raise from that, or does Salvation Army raise in our area? Do you remember?
No, it's probably
the 100,000. Tens of thousands? In our area? Really? That's way more than I thought. But you think just every little bit, right? And just by standing out there and ringing that bell, you know, it's just a reminder to give a little bit. And we try to do that. We did this November 17th. We did Operation Christmas Child. How many of you participated in this? Right? Okay, a number of you did. None of you did next year. Okay? We want to get as much participation as possible. But yeah, we did this as an English ministry. And I know when Cindy and I were talking about this, we're texting and planning, and we're thinking, okay, 25 boxes seems pretty realistic, right? In the past, it was disorganized, we weren't able to get all the items that we wanted. And then this year, you know, when you buy the boxes, they come in a flat, you have to build them. You know, you see some of them, not build them, but kind of fold them up. And then they come in 50. Guess how many boxes we filled up this year? 50, right? So next time, buy 100. See what happens. But there was so much joy here. There was, I wish I could say that at the meeting. There's a table back here that has all these items. And we were grabbing boxes and we were filling them up. It was like we were shopping for a child from all the items that were donated. And then each box cost $9 to ship, right? And we give that to Samaritan's Purse, the organization that runs this. And so 50 boxes, I know we're all really good at math, 50 boxes, $9 is $450, right? And we got that money easily. In the past, we've had no issue as well. Right? There's the heart of giving and donation. It seems like a small thing, but it can go a long way. I try to imagine a child in a developing country or someplace just doesn't have a Christmas gift that this year and gets this box. We have to do it so early so they can get shipped around the world. Do you know how many boxes that Samaritan's Purse ships around the world every year or last year? So I looked it up, I was curious. The U.S. makes 8.8 million boxes, and there are 10.6 million boxes worldwide. And so the U.S. is like 80-90% of it. Amazing. A lot of children, but there's a lot of children out there that aren't getting read. So we know the need is great. We know the mission is great. So what can we do? So did we greet our neighbor earlier? I don't remember. We did it. Well, now you have a chance, okay? And I want you just to greet your neighbor and share what are some ways to participate in Jesus' mission through outreach and service this holiday season. We've got about 25 days before Christmas, and another 31 days before New Year's. What are some ways? Well, I mentioned a few, but I took away all the easy ones. But what are some ways that you can participate in Jesus' mission? Try to think as creatively, broadly, think about your own context and world. What are some ways that you could even do little things that add up to big impact? So go ahead, and if there's someone you don't know sitting around you, introduce yourself. And I'll give you a 3 or 4 minutes to talk about this. Thank you. The most creative way that you thought of, right? What is, or this is like a, something different for you? What are some ways that you can participate in your position and call it to? What are some things you thought of? You're looking a little anxious over here. Any ideas? This is a hard question. Okay, Dean.
Yeah, so
This is one that runs in the winter, right?
Yeah.
In Davis.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it seems like a really simple thing, but it can go a long way. Yeah. Just think about when you're cold and you come in from the cold or a long day at work and then you have some hot soup. Right? So how that feels. Thank you. I thought someone else would be able to do that for me.
Yeah. Like, so Starbucks or Peach Coffee, they always make those like holiday season cups. It looks really nice. And sometimes I like to buy some drinks for people on the street and invite them there, like, have the sign on and like, oh, cool. And but they sometimes like put this like right in front of Peach or Starbucks and then they go, oh, why not just go in and grab a cup of coffee or a hot chocolate? It's really nice, even just a small cup.
Yeah.
The ones for.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I just get a cup of something hot and warm. Yesterday, Friday, we were at Target and the sheriff's department or the police department, they had their trucks there with their flat end open and they're trying to fill the trucks with toys. So you can just go to Target, buy something new, the Toys for Tots with a restaurant we had yesterday too. And just like there's a lot of opportunities and kind of ways that we can do that. Okay. We have one more? Are you good?
Yeah?
Jack and
Drive.
What's that?
Jack and Drive
or Blanket
Drive?
Oh, Blanket Drive?
And also the
soft drive. Do we have that? I don't know. We should do that. Jack and Drive and Blanket Drive, exactly. You know, people are coming out. I was saying that we used to have little kits here for homeless. And there's like water and information on shelters, maybe some granola bars and things. And maybe we could go buy a bunch of blankets that we could have at church for the winter if someone comes by, if someone rents it. There's all kinds of things. So I think all these things are great. And I want you to keep thinking creatively. And one of my applications at the end is for us to look for opportunities and to seize those opportunities, especially as we're busy with studies and work and family and everything else, is that we have this opportunity during this month to make a difference, right? And whatever way that might be. Maybe it's in those places too, where we're mostly focused on like, what we need to do and what we need to get accomplished. Or maybe there's some things happening in the family and you know, some of the family get together in the holidays and there's, you know, so-and-so comes and there's some tension. But maybe those are the places that God has sent you to be able to make that difference and to bring reconciliation and restoration. So what we're really talking about is goodness and generosity and giving. And these are things that we do during the holidays or that we're encouraged to do. I want to take it a little step further. I want to take it one step further and say that let's not be deceived that if we do some good things, that we are really being good people. So this is a slight distinction. Because sometimes we can say, well, I gave some socks, and I rang the bell for an hour, and this kind of thing. And I'm really generous, and I'm really good. Look at me. We might not say that out loud, but maybe we think that. I give some money, I did this kind of thing. I really think that what we're talking about here is not just doing some good thing. No, we should be doing good. Don't stop doing good, right? We're told to do good. But really, we are called and we are recreated Christ to be good. This is about who we are. And so I was thinking about this verse in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, and it really talks about the kind of people that we are to be. And I'm going to move through this somewhat quickly, but there's so much here. Right? So let's read this together. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, so we're going to follow this example and imitation of God in Christ. And the first thing he talks about is the imitation of God the Father. This word example is the root of the word, where we get the word mimic. Or imitate. And so this idea, this is what God does, then you mimic it. And usually this word is used for humans. And Paul says, you imitate me as I follow Christ. But here he talks about following God's example. It's kind of unique in this passage. And so he's talking about this mimicry. Right, this mimicking of God the Father. And what is it that he did that we're to mimic? In this example, he's talking about forgiveness. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the verse right before this passage. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about compassion toward one another, that this is how God treated us. He sent his son even while we were awful. We were enemies. We were broken. Right? This fragrant offering is this language of the temple, right? The sacrifice on the altar, this kind of thing. And it's out of who we are as a child. It's like you are your father's daughter or son. And as I get older, I become more and more like my dad. And I sometimes hate that. Because I always said I wasn't going to become like my dad. But there's some good things about my dad, right? Like I learned hard work and responsibility and a careful family. He always tells me, you are the head of the house and you have to provide for your family. You know, and so I look at him and he worked 4 years as an engineer. I went to work every day at 7 o'clock. Right? And he had that dedication and that love. That's something that I can follow, that I can mimic. And people will say, oh, you're George's son. Right? Not just because of the way I look, but because of the way I come. Can people say you are God's son or daughter? When they look at you, it's your life reflective of who God is and what he has done. God so loved the world, right, that he sent his one and only son. And he has this love, this outpouring of generosity. It's only generosity that allows us to be able to give. It's only sacrifice that allows us to give. It's only out of a heart of love where our cup overflows that we're able to give. And so we're to imitate God the Father. But he also talks about following Christ's example. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Right? So Christ gave himself up for us, and we're told to walk in love. And Ephesians loves this word walk. Right? It's peripatetic. It means to walk, right? Like it's this root that has this idea of walking. Walking is what we do in life. We move and we go. And as we walk and as we live, we're to do these things. It's a lifestyle, in other words. It's the way we're meant to be. And so he expands this application of mimicking God in forgiveness and compassion toward one another to a way of life. Right? Walk in the way of love. Not just when you're dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ, but in a general sense. And as he goes through the rest of the passage in chapter 5, he talks about all these different ways. He tells you what not to do, and then he tells you what to do in walking in the way of love. And so this is what I want to pick up on as we conclude. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So now we see he's taken it out of the realm of just the church body and those relationships into the whole world and the system of the world. And what's happening around us is that there is evil. And we can objectively say that when we look at the news and we look around, that there is this brokenness in our world. He's saying, make the most of every opportunity. Literally, he says, redeem the time. Buy it back. It's a market term. It's a perfect term for this time of year. It's who wants to spend an extra $25 for that Instant Pot? Right? When everyone has it on sale for $65. I saw it at Best Buy, Target, Costco, online, everywhere, Amazon. Why do I know that? Because I'm looking for the best deal. When I spend money, I want the best deal. And I think a lot of us are like that. And I don't think it's just being Chinese. It's being human, right? We just want to pay more than we have to. But he's saying here, it's a market term. He's saying, redeem, buy back the time. The way that you spend time to find the best deal to maximize whatever it is, time and you know, sales, whatever. Put that type of energy into thinking about how you live and how you spend your time. Because what is the most precious commodity that we have? Time. We have a limited amount of time. And when it runs out, it's out. So he says, make the most of every opportunity. This is a season to do that. Of course, it's all the time. But particularly this season, we have many opportunities to fulfill Christ's mission. How can we be more mindful of that? Even in the midst of our own stuff and all the things that we're going through, can we ask God for something to give to our neighbor, to our family, and to our church, to our community, to this world? Is there something that we can do? Are we mindful of that with the opportunities that God has given us? Tom Wright wrote this in his commentary. Says, in particular, Christians are to see every day, every hour, every minute as an opportunity for serving the Lord, for understanding what His will is and getting on and doing it. Verse 16 is another wake-up call. These are evil times we live in, and you, as a child of life, have a chance to do something about it. Take that chance with both hands. So as we do, we need to be mindful that we are God's child. How many of you forget, you who are Christians, how many forget as you get out there, as you go through your day, that you are God's child? How many of us, thank you, some of you really do, sometimes we forget that. We forget who we are. We forget this is who we are, God's beloved child, a dearly loved children. As I meditate on this verse, I bring up some of my memory verses. And as I meditate on this verse, I'm stuck on this phrase, dearly loved child. If I don't feel and experience that, it's hard for me to act out of the generosity of love that God has sent me to act out of. I can't do that unless I've been filled up by Him. So by imitating Christ as His child, as God's child, we have to remember who we are. And I know we forget. I forget. Because this world, it tears us down, it breaks us down, and it makes us want to forget. But this is at the core of who we are. And we act out. We give generously. If Christmas, God, what can I offer to you? What did God hold back when He saw our need? As we come to the table, we recognize He held nothing back. He sent His one and only Son. There's nothing we can give back. There's nothing that we can offer of what He has done for us. And so we offer up our lives to God in what we do. So as you think about this, and maybe you're thinking about the season, this is how I sometimes think about application or giving and time, talent, and treasure. You'll say, well, I don't have a lot of money. I remember I was a college student here. I didn't have a lot of money. My parents gave me a little bit of steady cash. And then I adopted a compassion child when I was in the third or fourth year here. And I went through like three children over the years, supporting children from the time they were 7 or 8 until they were 18. And they said, well, they're not a child anymore, so we can have another child. And so we supported another child. And then when Lydia was 8, I found a child who was 8 in Ethiopia. And then they kind of corresponded a little bit. Turns out it's doing good for me, though, I think. I don't know why, but, time. Time is something we can give. Your talent. God has given all of us something of value in terms of our skills and our training and our gifts and talents, right? But how can we use those? And so I have been blessed with financial means or other ways that we could give of our resources, right? But to give generously and to give out of a heart that God has for us, for the world. And so I'm excited to see what God can do. You know, it seems like a big need and what can I do? But we can see that as we all participate in God's plan, as He has sent us out, we will be able to see the aggregate. Maybe someday we'll see it here. Maybe we'll see it here, but someday we'll see it. When we see God, we'll see that, yeah, we made impacts, we made differences in ways that we never could have imagined. It's Christmas, God. What can I offer to you? Okay. Father God, I thank you for just everything, all your blessings. During this Thanksgiving, we count our blessings, and we're reminded of family, friends, and all the things that we have, education. Here in Davis, we have a great university. We have people who care about us. they're a church that we can come and be a part of and to serve and worship and fellowship. And we thank you for all of it. And God, out of this, we know we're called to be a blessing to others. That we're not to just hog all these blessings and just to gather them up for ourselves, but we're meant to be generous with them. That we're stewards of what we have, even our time, and how we manage it and what we do with it. It says a lot about who we are. We really want to be counted as your children and to be seen as Christ's hands and feet that we're pointing back to him and his mission and his love for us. So I pray, Lord, this Christmas season that indeed we would buy back the time and that you would fill us up, overflowing with love and compassion and mercy, that we would have a generous heart with our time and talent and treasures. We pray, God, that you would use us, and out of that, that we will understand what it means that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you, Lord, that as we come before the table, that you are God who indeed pours out his love on us, that even while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, let's bring the ushers up. I thought of this verse, besides being a verse that was really powerful in my life and as an example of how we should walk and live, is as it pointed to the element of the bread and the cup. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And what that means for us, and for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus and for our salvation, for the remission of our sins, for new life, for everything, and this new life of meaning and purpose that he's given us, that we're to walk in that. But this is a time to remember, indeed, and remember as we partake of the bread and the cup of the body and blood of Christ. And a time to really reflect as well in ways that God would want us to continue to walk in his ways, in many ways that we haven't been, in ways that we need to correct, in ways that we need to repent. And so, as we pass, take some of that time to do that. This will be playing as we pass the bread and the cup. And just reflect on the words of the scriptures today and what it is that God might be calling you to. So let's come back and we'll read from 1 Corinthians 11 as a practice. For I receive from the Lord,
what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me."
As Rob said, what thing would you
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can.